Let's turn just for a few minutes then this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and to verse 17. There's always something lovely about something that's new, isn't there? We might have something new to wear after Christmas. Maybe somebody has bought us something, a new tie perhaps, or something new to wear. We think about having a new car, perhaps. Somebody might give us a new book to read. There's something even better, isn't there, about a new baby, about a new life. So often, when something is new, there are all sorts of possibilities. Maybe this year you're looking for a new challenge. We've come to the start of another new year. And before us stretches the whole of 12 months, if the Lord carries. And we've been able to sing this morning, haven't we? And whether our tomorrows are filled with joy or with sadness, we have a God who is ever old, ever new, ever the same, ever faithful. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever, remains the same. Here's a lovely verse about something that's new. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of those greatest of the great chapters of the Apostle Paul. There are enormous and glorious truths in almost every verse, aren't there? But 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 speaks about the newness that there is when we trust in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The new birth, the new life that there is in Jesus Christ changes everything. And Paul writes about that here as he writes to this church at Corinth. And in this verse, he reminds us of a number of really important truths. Let's just think briefly this morning about three of them. The first is that we are creatures. You notice it there in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This verse is built upon the fact that you and I are creatures, that we are part of creation. We'll see in a moment that we need to become new creations, new creatures. But it's good to remind ourselves, isn't it? I think as this verse does, that we are creatures. That's where we have to start. That's where we have to start before God. We have to realize that we're creatures, that we are creatures of a creator. Paul doesn't say here, does he, if anyone believes, he becomes a new man, or he becomes a new person, or he becomes a new being. He says he becomes a new creation, because we are created beings, because we are creatures. We're not just accidents. The Bible, right the way from beginning to end, reminds us of that fact, takes it as a given. We're in those first a few chapters of the book of Genesis, we have the story of creation, don't we? But it's not just there. Some people would like to ditch those chapters. They'd like to believe those chapters are just make-believe and to say that they're not important. They're just fables. But rooted like a golden thread all the way through the scripture is this great truth that you and I are creatures of our God's. We read it in Psalm 8 this morning, didn't we? A psalm where we imagine, don't we, David looking up at the night sky. He talks about the moon and the stars, doesn't he? In Psalm 19, he'll talk about the sun. But Psalm 8 seems to be a nighttime psalm, doesn't it? And he looks up and he sees the heavens. There'd been no light pollution in Jerusalem 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. He looks up and he sees all the glory of the heavens at nighttime. And he stops and he thinks and he says, well, what is man that you are mindful of him when I see all of those things? But then he thinks about what man is, doesn't he? And he says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. And you have put all things under his feet, and the dominion over the fish and the birds and the animals. And yes, that psalm ultimately is about the man. Ultimately, it's about Christ. But it's primarily, firstly, in David's thought, it's about us. It's about human beings. What is man that you're man? You've made him a little lower than the angels. He didn't make us a little higher than the apes. He made us a little lower than the angels. And that's what we are. We're creatures. We're made by him. That means you're accountable to him. That means you answer to him. It's a big thing, isn't it, at the moment about AI, this business about robots, and the whole business of who these robots are going to be accountable to, and how it's important that any robot that's made answers to the one who made it. Well, you see, you and I are creatures, and we're answerable to God. Indeed, earlier in the chapter, Paul has reminded us, haven't we, that one day we will be answerable to him, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all give an account of what we have done, what we have said, how we have lived, what our attitude towards Christ has been. We must all receive the things done in the body. We must all face the Lord. And Paul talks about the terror of the Lord. You and I are creatures. And Paul reminds us of that. He reminds us of our accountability before God. But not only are we creatures, but this verse reminds us, secondly, that we need to become new creatures. This verse holds out this tantalizing and glorious possibility of us becoming new creatures. That something glorious, something renewing can be done to us. We need that, don't we, because of how the chapter begins, because of the fact that of our mortality, because of the fact that our bodies are weak, because of the fact that one day we must die. We need to be new creations, that a change can be made in us. It's always interesting, isn't it, how everybody will recognize that they need to change, that they need to improve, perhaps particularly at this time of the year. So many people set themselves new resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and they say, well, next year, this year, this is a new start for me. So I'm going to lose some more weight, perhaps, or I'm going to exercise more, or I'm going to think about the things that go into my body, or I'm going to sort my finances out, or I'm going to be a better person in this way, a better person that way. And people feel that they need to reform themselves. And of course, we know how very often those resolutions, within days, maybe even within hours, they fall apart, don't they? Because although so often we're dissatisfied with ourselves, we lack the ability so often to change ourselves and to improve ourselves. We have all sorts of programs, don't we, on the television, trying to encourage us in this way and that way. So whether it's improving the way we appear, whether it's improving our health, whether it's improving our houses, whether it's improving this part of us or that part of us. Or we need something more than that, Scripture says. You see, we are creatures. We were made in God's image. We were made for fellowship with him. We were made perfect beings. But something's got in the way. Something's ruined that. It's called sin. It's our enmity against God. It's our desire to do our own thing, to go our own way. That's what's got in the way. And that's what blocks our relationship with God. That's what makes this world the place that it is. That's why we see, ultimately, all of the effects of man's inhumanity to man. That's why we see war. That's why we see persecution. That's why we see all of the things that fill our newspapers and fill our television bulletins, all of those things that spoil our world. And the root cause is mankind. And we don't just need the outside of us changing. We need to be made new people. That's what this verse tells us. That's what this verse holds out for us, that we can be made different. We can be remade. We can become new creatures. We can be given a glorious, fresh start. It's a similar picture, isn't it, to the one we have in John chapter 3, when Jesus talks with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a good man. He was a religious man. He was a good man in all sorts of ways. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, you need to be born again. You need to be made new. You need to be born from above. All of your goodness, all of your religiosity, all of your law-keeping, as good as that is, it's not enough. You need to be made a new person. That's why Jesus has come. That's why God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And whether we use the picture of the new birth in John chapter 3, or whether we use the picture of the new creation here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's what we need. Just fiddling about, as it were, with the outsides, with the extremities. We need a change of heart. We need to be made new by God himself. How can that happen? It happens through Christ. And it happens only through Christ. You see it here in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, you see, that's the third thing that this verse says. We have to be in Christ. For that work to be done, for us to be made new creatures, for us to, for God to recreate us, it has to be in Jesus. It has to be through Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's described for us here in so many different ways, isn't he, as we go through the passage. Verse 14, the love of Christ. He's the one who has loved men and women. A love that took him to the cross. A love that took him to die in our place. It's there in verse 15. One died for all, that all died, and he died for all. So as Christ dies upon the cross, he dies for everybody. Everybody who will come. Everybody who will come and put their trust in him. And if everybody were to come, everybody could be saved, the Bible teaches. And you know, if you come this morning, and you trust in Christ this morning, you can be saved as well. That's what verse 15 says for us. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see, he's come and he's lived and he's died and he's risen again, so that you might become new creatures, so that you might have everlasting life. Verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's the Christ who can make us new creatures. God was in Christ, through Christ, reconciling lost men and women to himself. You see, you need reconciliation. We're far away from God. We're in a state of enmity with God. But we can be reconciled to him through Christ. How is that possible? Well, verse 21 tells us again, doesn't it? Because God made Jesus, the one who knew no sin, the sinless one. He made him to be sin for us. No sin in Christ, no sin committed by Christ. Not a sinful word, not a sinful thought, not a sinful deed. But God made him to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of Christ, of God in him. That's what the scripture promises. And if we come to Christ, if we're in Christ, we can be new creatures. Now, my friends, has that happened to you? Do you know, I'm a new creature in Jesus. I know there was a time when I wasn't, but I now know that I am. I've come to that place. I've believed in Christ. I've trusted in Christ. I'm resting in Christ. My hope for the year ahead is in Jesus. In Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Saviour. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.